First Parliament. Henry had issued writs of Parliament on the 15th of September, but it did not meet until after the coronation on the 7th of November. Henry called his first Parliament to carry out some specific duties. Some of these tasks were customary at the start of any new reign, but others reflected the nature of Henry's accession to the throne. Henry required Parliament to declare and confirm his kingship, to reverse and enact attainders, to make some financial arrangements, and to pass laws. The business of the new Parliament included the following. Number 1. The declaration of the king's title. This was a statement that Henry was king by just hereditary title, as well as by the grace of God revealed through battlefield victory at Bosworth. Number 2. Attainders. Some previous acts of attainder had been passed during the reign of Richard III, so now needed to be reversed, and other acts needed to be passed against those who fought against Tudor at Bosworth. Number 3. Financial matters. Tonnage and poundage was granted for the king's life, and an act of resumption enabled Henry to reclaim all lands held by Henry VI before the outbreak of the Wars of the Roses, although this act did include substantial provisions. Legislation. The new king secured the passage of several acts to ensure the maintenance of public peace and the enforcement of law and order across the realm. Parliament approved a new oath of loyalty to be sworn by the royal household, the commons and the lords, both temporal and spiritual. The Chancellor stressed the importance of this oath to men who were justices of the peace. Another important measure was the nullification of Richard III's act that declared the children of Edward IV illegitimate. Parliament remained in session for only 5 weeks, during which it sat on various occasions. Its final action before prorogation on the 10th of December was to formally and publicly request the King to marry Elizabeth of York, as he had promised in Wren's Cathedral on Christmas Day 1483. Historians have argued that the decision to delay the marriage until after the coronation and First Parliament was political, but it seems equally likely that the new king needed time to attend to the urgent business of government, then to meet and court his intended bride. Henry and Elizabeth shared a blood relationship and therefore required dispensation to get married. It was approved initially on the 16th of January 1486 by 8 English bishops, then subsequently confirmed by the Pope on the 2nd of March. The marriage of Henry VII and Elizabeth of York. The marriage was celebrated by Archbishop Borchia on the 18th of January. The details of the service are less significant than the symbol of union between the two marrying houses of Lancaster and York and the promise of legitimate heirs to secure the Tudor dynasty. Queen Elizabeth was described by contemporaries as being a very good-looking and able woman. She certainly proved very successful at her primary task, giving birth to heirs for the new king. She gave birth to 8 children, however only 4 reached adulthood. The Queen's coronation was delayed until Henry had faced the first really serious challenge to his kingship, Lambert Sibnell, until Prince Arthur had been born. A closer look at Elizabeth of York. Elizabeth of York was the eldest daughter of a king. She was destined to marry to her father's political advantage, therefore she was well educated, being taught to read, write and speak French and Spanish well. Edward IV's death threw Elizabeth's life into turmoil. She fled into sanctuary at Westminster Abbey with her mother, 4 sisters and the younger prince, Richard. It is unknown how she coped with her 2 brothers' disappearance, though the human tragedy cannot be understated. She faced further traumas when Richard III's soldiers surrounded the sanctuary, and later when she was forced to accept her illegitimacy. Richard III's fortunes deteriorated with the death of his wife. This opened up the possibility that he might marry his niece, Elizabeth of York, especially after she was received at court during the Christmas festivities of 1484. The precise nature of the king's romantic intentions is unclear, but the rumours provoked such public angst that he was forced into public denial, and he sent Elizabeth to Sheriff Hutton in Yorkshire with Edward of Warwick. Her coronation at the age of 22 was magnificent. Elizabeth was elegant, majestically fair and tall. She wore a kirtle of white cloth of gold, damasked, and a mantle of the same furred with ermine and finished with gold. On her loose red gold hair, she wore a crest of gems and a rich crown. It is difficult for historians to piece together Elizabeth's life, but one very good source is the Privy Purse Expense account. These reveal that she enjoyed hunting and keeping a pack of greyhounds and a goshawk. She supported the arts by sponsoring William Caxton's printing of The 50 No's. She loved her four sisters, who had been left destitute, and provided for their private expenses. She closely oversaw the expenses of the royal nursery, where, intentionally, Tudor and Yorkist cousins grew up together in a close family unit. On the other hand, she was prudent with her own money, for her grounds were mended and refashioned, yet she was generous towards her servants, providing rewards such as cherries and bunches of flowers. Life was not easy. Elizabeth suffered the pains of childbirth and the loss of children, especially the death of her son Arthur in 1502. It appears that Elizabeth may have been overshadowed by her mother-in-law, who was largely responsible for her son winning the throne. There were rumours that Tudor was repelled by Elizabeth because of his aversion to the House of York, although this aversion did not prevent the Queen conceiving 8 children or the King being heartbroken on her premature death. On Candlemas Day, the 2nd of February, 1503, Elizabeth gave birth to a short-lived daughter. The Queen died on her 38th birthday, 11th of February, 1503. 12 days later, her coffin was buried in Westminster Abbey, and 6 years later, her husband, who never remarried, was laid beside her.